This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
If you're wondering whether you're crunchy or not, ask yourself, have I gone down the rabbit hole of toxins found in tea bags, even some of the organic ones? If the answer is no, you are not. Looks like our neighbor's putting in a new load of laundry. Guess we're staying inside for the rest of the day.
Oh my goodness, so good.
It's hilarious.
It's truth. You just listened to a clip from Really Very Crunchy.
Hey, we are back with another Talking to the Experts special bonus party today. And Serene and I, this is going to be a blast because we are with Emily Morrow.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, did you just call me an expert?
Yes, I did. And I thought about this, Emily. What are you an expert at? And I'm going to tell you.
Okay, tell me. I really need to know.
Yes, you do. You are an expert at being funny about crunchy, I think.
Yes, and I think she's an expert at the balance of crunchy because I think very few people find the balance. Very few people. And you have to be an expert to find it and then to teach the balance. And you're either a crunchy psychopath or you are a non-caring whatever goes into your body.
And before we let you talk about yourself, I want to talk about you again, tell you who you are again, because I think that there's a real need out there to understand exactly what crunchy is, because we talk about crunchiness all the time. We're third gen crunchies, but some people are like, well, what the heck is crunchy? And thankfully you have just shown the world in your book and told us all what crunchy really is.
And I love the cover.
What it's not.
Is it not giving John Deere vibes to you?
Now that you say it, I can't go back, Emily.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just fantastic.
Emily actually has an illustrious bio, and we've been just getting to know Emily having some crunchy food.
Can I just, before I read the bio, I want to say I wish Emily was around for me about 2 decades ago when I was just making myself miserable in my crunchiness. Like, I just needed to be donged on the head with some of this.
Yeah.
To be told, you can be crunchy, but you don't have to have it make you toxic in your head.
Serene and I, we talk too much, Emily. This is about you because you're the expert. So we will soon stop, but we had to get that off our chest about who you are and what you are.
Well, I had to read it.
In case you didn't know.
Okay? Thank you.
Emily Moreau. I want to say Moreau. Is that
please
okay?
Please do.
Emily that Moreau is so the creator of Really Very Crunchy, whose sketch comedy videos about being a crunchy mom have gained millions of followers and over 2 billion views. Boy, that's amazing.
Yeah, you're actually a big deal. In case you didn't know, you're a big deal. I was actually saying, okay, we're going to finish your illustrious bio, but I was telling my daughter-in-law, yeah, we're having this lady. She's called the Very Crunchy Mom. She's like, what? You're having her on your podcast? She's like, I watch all her vids. Keep going, Serene.
Before launching the Really Very Crunchy channel, she spent the prior decade delving into all things crunchy, from food to chemicals and household products to lifestyle, you name it, and she's probably got a perspective to share. And usually those perspectives are with a good dose of humor on her channel. They're hilarious. My husband was rolling off the couch last night watching. She lives in Western Kentucky with her husband, Jason, and their 2 children. And most recently, she has authored Really Very Crunchy, A Beginner's Guide to Removing Toxins from Your Life Without Adding Them to Your Personality, which is what I had done for years.
So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me here.
Emily, I would love, we were talking before, you know, we press play here, and we were talking about how on earth did you get to this place where we're interviewing you tomorrow. You're flying to New York and doing the TV shows and all of that, and you've got the book. How on earth did you get to this place where you're actually telling the world what crunchy is, what it's not, and how to be it without being toxic? Could you tell us a little bit of your story? Because it sounds very accidental.
Yeah. So it probably happened because I was a little bit toxic in my crunchiness. My husband recognized that and kind of was like, Emily, you are crazy. We're going to have to tone it down a little bit, but you're also hilarious. So can I film you? So that was sort of how it began. He was really interested in content creation, and the whole premise of my platform was not actually to be educational. It was just to entertain, to make people laugh, because I feel like people can enjoy my videos if they're not crunchy, if they want to make fun of crunchy people, if they hate crunchy people, if they are crunchy, they feel seen. So it can really be enjoyed by anyone. But because there are so many things in my videos that people haven't heard of, like they've never thought about toxins and crayons or whatever crazy crunchy thing, I started getting a lot of messages like, hey, what are you talking about? I've never thought about the food I'm eating, or I've never looked at the ingredients. I never thought about the hand soap I was using. How do I even start being crunchy? What do I do? So when someone reached out to me and said, hey, you should write a book, I was like, maybe I should write a book. Hey, that's a good idea. So that's where this came from. And yeah, I feel really blessed for the opportunity.
It's a fantastic read. It's as hilarious as her YouTube skits. It really is. So,
and you were saying in your book that a lot of people don't really know if you're crunchy or not. Because your skits come across, you're paying out on yourself and mm-hmm. others like you. So all the way through your book, I was like, that's Serene. There's Serene.
I think that's why Sam, my husband, loved the skit so much, because he was like, it felt like he was being able to share his pain.
Yeah.
You know, it was like other people have a wife like me, maybe. Mm-hmm. And he was just, he felt seen.
Yeah, but when I added Jason to the videos, we gained a lot of followers, because
people men are like, watching them now, because they're like, oh, my wife, that's the way I have to live.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
but a lot of people, you mentioned in your book, didn't really know if you were crunchy yourself or if you were just paying out on the crunchy folk.
But how could I not be crunchy? Yeah. Like, there's no way I could know all the things.
That's so true.
You know, like, you can't create the comedy unless you understand it.
Yeah.
So when people have asked me that, I'm like, what do you think?
Yeah.
But
tell us, but maybe if they've just seen one video,
uh-huh.
You know, they might just like, is that, you know, but tell us about your own crunchy journey. So you are first gen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become interested in not being just a conventional, you know, mom?
Yeah. Well, I told you whenever I first came in, the first thing I did whenever I walked into the studio was go to your bathroom. And I have like slight.
Did you check underneath the sink to see?
No, I have PTSD because the soap on your counter is Miss Meyer's hand soap. And that is where my crunchy journey began. I gave a friend some Miss Meyer's hand soap and a little linen tea towel. And when she pulled it out, she said, this is actually so toxic. And I was like, what?
And you thought you were being pretty healthy.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I picked the cleaner hand soap because I knew she was into essential oils and stuff. It said on the label, made with essential oils and aloe vera, lemon verbena. Okay, like how much cleaner could it get? It's hand soap. So yeah, I gave it to her, and then I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, maybe you could re-gift it. And she said, well, I would never knowingly give someone toxins. So then
oh my god, so hold on, honey,
you saw there before your journey, I don't want to become like that.
Mm.
So you call this woman, I don't know if it's her real name, you call her Amy, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I would have thought if that was your first experience with the next level of crunchiness, because you thought you were being pretty healthy giving Mrs. Myers, right? I would have thought that could put you off. But did you take it as there's more to learn here?
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of my crunchiness in the early days was inspired through fear and anxiety.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm really fear driven just naturally. So that, what do you mean it's toxic? Like, gonna kill me toxic? Because I don't want that to happen, you know? So she told me to check out this app that I could download and see how horrible everything was that I had been putting on my body and using in my home.
Yeah.
And so I downloaded it, and I like waited in the car before driving away, and that soap was an eight out of 10. So I was like, I'm definitely gonna die. I'm pregnant, like probably ruined my child. Need to call everyone who's ever washed their hands at my house, let them know that they're in grave danger. So
it really was a fear, serious fear thing.
Do you know what I think though? I feel like today, for the people like you that are fear-based driven towards being crunchy, it'd be a scary place to live today, not only because there's so many chemicals, but because there's so much sensational blogging arena out there. It's just so vast. Every time your phone, every time it would ding, or any time you look, check anything out, you'd be like, another thing's out to kill me. I mean, it would be scary to live in this world if you're fear-based crunchy.
Yeah. So that's one thing I definitely wanted to touch on in my book and in my videos, is just how silly it is when you step away. I mean, obviously, the choices you make matter, and you can influence your health by making healthier choices. But like, we need to chill out a little on the fear-based crunchiness.
I just love what you said. I actually wrote, jotted some things down. I actually took pictures of them from your book that you said, and I want to read them soon, because it's so, the balance you bring is so needed. But what was I going to say? But it was fear at first. But when you look at your videos, and then, you know, you've come all these years later, did it also turn into like a love affair as well when you found more balance? Because
love,
I mean,
affair or a fear?
A love affair.
Affair.
Yeah. Because like, you know, we see in your videos, I mean, you're stretching the dough and you're doing all sourdough things. I mean, did some of it become a love?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Definitely. Once I realized that I could make nourishing meals for my kids, like, yeah, you get a lot of pleasure out of that. Seeing what you can create, having nourishing habits. I mean, I love to grow flowers and spend time outside. I was saying before this started that I feel like you guys are sort of a scientific crunchy. Mm-hmm. Like, you think about macros and I don't even know all the things. And I'm like, let's get outside barefoot and forage for mushrooms. That sounds so fun. And like, a lot of healthy habits I have are just because I'm kind of lazy in some ways, like not wearing shoes, being outside, entertaining my kids. Like, there's endless possibilities outside, you know. But yeah, I kind of worry that I don't live up to your standards.
No,
not at all. Not at all.
And our standards are completely different too. Yeah. As I was reading the book, I saw myself in some of it, but it was her. It was the pure Serene that I was laughing at, because I'm like the drive-through Sue of our team.
And because we are a team, and because we're, you know, kind of tied at the hip our whole lives, your whole life has been my counseling woman to get me to not be a crazy person. Like, you know, I think without you, I would be the girl that would say at the birthday party, who would knowingly gift this?
And and she would have done it out of, not as a superior attitude, but out of real concern.
Well, and that's how my friend was. Yeah. So whenever I use her voice, I probably am not saying it quite right in my head. That's how I heard it though. But yeah, she is one of the sweetest people I know. Uh-huh. She is so kind. But then, like, the words coming out just don't compute. Like, that's not what you say to someone when you give them a gift. I understand you're concerned for my safety.
You've probably been talking to her about, there's a romance in it, and there's a love in it, and there's almost a poetry to some of the stuff, you know, with the tatin method and the stretching and the folding of the sourdough. Yeah. But I loved how your skit brought out the humor, which helps, I think, keep us real crunchies as we see these skits. It helps keep us in balance, because even though there can be a love to it, it can be a consuming love, where in the skit, your poor children, you know, they just wanted to sit down and have you read them a book, but you were like run by the special, you know, timers that told you when the next stretch and folds were going to happen. And your whole day became stretching and folding, and you know, you were under the influence of the sourdough and not really in the presence of your home anymore. And I have been there, you know. So there actually is a danger to being too crunchy, and I have walked that road. And so I find it hilarious too, because I see that it's almost a danger you don't even realize when you're first entering into.
Well, I mean, I think your subtitle on your book says it all. You know, a beginner's guide to removing toxins from your life without adding them to your personality. Isn't that huge, though? And I would say the toxins of fear and worry and anxiety, which definitely come with some crunchiness, right? You talk about it in your book. It's worse for you than sometimes the chemicals in the foods that you're eating.
You were talking about how you, and I love this part, how, you know, your husband and you have realized that it's better to go out with your friends and to keep that beautiful social network and enjoy a dinner out than to be so worried that it's not grass-fed meat, or it's, or maybe like a restaurant that's not up to your standard. But it's healthier to have community. and sure. than all of the gents. Because I remember being trapped in the point where, you know, my husband would want to take me out for our anniversary and I'd bring my little brown paper sack with dehydrated raw food, you know, and he couldn't even enjoy a meal with me, let alone going out with people. So I love the balance you bring. I think it's for so many people.
Well, when did you learn the balance along your journey? How long did it take? Were there hard knocks that gave you the balance, or when did it come?
Yeah, struggling with anxiety, just having almost daily panic attacks over things that weren't actually happening to me, and, you know, learning to live in the moment rather than the what ifs. So definitely recognizing that that's not a healthy way to live. And then also my husband is really into tough love. So he kind of pulls me down. You know, he's not going to let me get too crazy because he's like, Emily, come on, Emily.
Yeah. But let me ask you this then, wonderful. Because I've met a lot of crunchies in my life who are doing it, or some of it is fear and anxiety because of what we hear and understand and learn. But then they realize that that's toxic. So I've seen this happen over and over again. Rather than find that balance that you did, they realize what I am thinking is very toxic. I'm going to abandon all of this. I'm going to go back to an approach where I don't have to think about food. I don't have to think about these chemicals I'm putting on myself. And it's almost another extreme swinging the same way. And they go back to eating corn chips. It's like, I'll have a Dorito. I don't care about toxins, you know? So, but you arrived, obviously, in your book. You are still practicing all these things, but they're not fear-based. So how did you get to that?
Yeah.
Did you ever want to, like, go eat a corn chip instead?
I'm not afraid of corn chips. No. If I want a corn chip, I guess I would have one if it was something I wanted, but I don't really want it, you know, at this point.
Because it changes your brain space.
So, yeah, I guess that's tricky. I don't know. I think I also can see the humor in life. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I'm doing something that just seems crazy or outrageous, then I'm like, oh, this is actually so hilarious. And also a lot of times whenever you start making all those healthier choices, it's really easy to allow judgment to creep in whenever you see other people not making those choices. Mm. And when I recognized that I was becoming just like Amy, the one who said the hand soap was toxic, I was like thinking those thoughts about, oh, they're drinking Mountain Dew. Why would you ever do that? Or, oh my goodness, you're giving your kids whatever, you know, like, ew, I would never, but I probably would have if Amy hadn't have, you know, said that to me. So I think there's good and bad, but definitely whenever I started recognizing that I was becoming that judgmental person, I was like, oh, whoa.
And talk about bigger picture. Good. You actually play out these characters, right? And you show all the facets. So do you think even though you were reluctant, like you didn't go on YouTube, I want to be a YouTube star. It was all accident, right? But do you think that actually putting these skits out there have actually helped you get a big picture? Because you're going to see the comments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's actually how I got the title for my book, is someone said, crunchy, when you remove toxins from your life and add them to your personality. And I was like, oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure out how not to do that.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, I think you're probably right. Definitely. I'm a self-aware person anyway, so then making the skits, writing the skits, coming up with the comedy, you put it out there, and yeah, you see how it's perceived. So I definitely don't want to be a toxic, crunchy person, and I can keep myself in check, and I think we all can if you're willing to be honest with yourself.
Right, and also if you have somebody in your life, you said your husband, you know, and I've had Pearl and my husband, but she gets in my face a little bit more than my husband does. But, you know, I think it's hard for people if they're married to another crunchy. I've seen crunchy couples.
You've seen two crunchies together?
Oh, I've seen crunchy couples. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, it's scary. It's really scary. But I think that if you don't have somebody in your life, this is the book that will help you. Right?
It's the pearl in your life.
It's just the drive-through sister. And you become to see the humor aside, then you won't be able to take yourself seriously as a crunchy person anymore. And I think it's fantastic.
Well, what I love about it too, I mean, not to be like, what I love about my book.
Say it, girl.
Well, it's also for people who aren't crunchy at all and don't know anything, but they're curious. I feel like it's a crash course for
It's very really beginner friendly. Uh-huh. You go down to the very basics. Like what to eat. I mean, that's so simple.
But it's not when you don't know.
Yeah.
I was raised in a home. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dad microwaved honey buns and gave it to us for breakfast. Wow. And it's like, well, I had part of the nourishing breakfast, right? Like, yeah. Or the balanced breakfast that's mm-hmm. always pushed on cereal commercials. Yes, yeah. At least I ate breakfast. Really a lot of things that I've learned in my journey have been mind-blowing because I never thought about any of it. Yeah. A lot of times, like, how I was raised was counting calories. Mm-hmm. That was what you did. If you wanted to be healthy, you just like stay under a certain number of calories.
Doesn't matter how many toxins are in the calories.
Eat those 100 calorie pack Oreo snacks, whatever. Like, that's great. Making healthy choices.
Yeah. So. But I love that, you know, talking about when you were choosing between what choice is more toxic. This is what you said in your book. I took a photo of this, but I kind of cut half your words off. So hopefully
you can just make them up.
Which you said, this, I love this. Which is better? 100% wool, because you even talk about clothing and, you know, the toxins in our clothes and everything and find the balance and everything. Which is better, wool or polyester? Wool takes the trophy, as wearing polyester all the time can be problematic. But take it from me, a wool bathing suit is pretty itchy.
I do have a wool bathing suit as my bathing suit.
Okay, because I have had to deal with years of her wearing only wool. And she says that wool doesn't stick. So she'll wear it over and over and over and over. Which is better, sitting in front of a screen or hiking in the woods? Personally, I think hiking wins here, but there are some great documentaries worth watching. See the balance, okay? So which is better, drinking filtered water or drinking straight from the sink? Don't die of thirst just because filtered water isn't an option. We have friends
who would actually go without water until they got their special copper vessel and their special filtration system water that went into the copper vessel. And
well, what I always say is, what is the rule of your life and what is the exception to the rule? And if she wants to drink from her copper vessel on the regular basis, then that's wonderful. That's great. But don't go thirsty.
No, I love it. Well, I ended up being like Despicable Me. You know, I opened my closet and all. Well, see, with these natural fibers, maybe today they're coming up with a little bit more celebrational styles. But when I first got into it, it was like you got the black or the navy blue and the wool, merino wool, whatever. And it just looked like all the same. I couldn't get, you know, the pattern, the nice floral pattern.
A funny story about a crunchy, though, whose, you know, choices are kind of going to go against you in the end. Whereas we went to a trip to China. And Serene decided to be a minimalist and only take her very few items, pieces of wool clothing.
I think she talks about a capsule wardrobe in here.
Yes. So Serene did it. She was so proud of herself. She took one backpack. We were going for 2 weeks. And that was her and her baby's clothes. And I had this huge, you know, huge suitcase I was logging around. And Serene was like, oh, Pearl, I'm so lightweight. I can just take whatever I need on the go. And then by the end, she was borrowing all my clothes. She didn't have what she needed and her life was miserable.
The worst was when we went to New Zealand, I did the same thing, and we were going around these windy corners and my baby on day one threw up all over himself and me, and we couldn't get that spew scent out of the wool.
And you didn't pack enough because wool doesn't smell and wool was fine.
Well, I brought the special cleanser for the wool and I wouldn't take it to the normal laundromat. So it didn't clean out the scent. It was bad. It was bad. Anyway, enough about that. You should read another excerpt.
It was such good therapy for me reading this last night because it was like all the years of living with her. Oh, it was just... Oh,
I just love this. This book is it's a real comedy. What is the best form of stress relief? If you're silky, a bath bomb. Okay, if you're scrunchy... Diffusing lavender essential oil. This makes me laugh. If you're really very crunchy, EFT tapping and breath work. Once I was in one of these, it wasn't your health food chain. It was like one of these really hippy-dippy health food stores. And I saw a mother and she saw that her child was getting a little bit stressed out in the store. And she stopped him and she's like, okay, hands out. And she was tapping him in all these different places. And it was like his whole like workup on the body in the middle of the grocery store. Because that was her special, very crunchy way of having him not be, you know.
Overstimulated.
But can I ask you a question? I mean, so, you know, you're now, whether you wanted to or not, the official crunchy person kind of the world, right? You are really very crunchy and you didn't intend to be. But do you have friends that are only crunchy, or do you have friends that are, hey, they're doing it really differently from you?
Oh, most of my friends are doing it really differently than me. My closest friend, she's really crunchy because of her aesthetic. Like she loves wooden toys everything like that. But I don't think she thinks about the reason behind that. But she also wears she dresses like me, natural linen and stuff, but she's not afraid of polyester or nylon or whatever, you know. But most people I know are not crunchy. I mean, I live in Paducah, Kentucky. Yeah. It's the fast food capital of the world. We have more fast food restaurants per capita than anywhere. I mean, it doesn't mean there's that many because it is a pretty small place, but still, there's not really even a healthy option. Like, I'm not even tempted to go out much because there's nowhere to go.
So,
not many crunchy people. But people do make crunchier choices when I'm around.
Yes.
Because they know you now as what you
are. Part of it I feel a little bad about. Like, you know, I'm not actually judgmental. Like, I'm not like my character, but... I mean, I'm not going to complain.
Has it rubbed off on some, though? Have some joined you? Any family members joined you?
My mom is now, you know, she leans crunchy. I actually don't make my own kombucha anymore. She makes it.
Oh, okay.
And then shares. So, handy. And she gave up her microwave when I was in college, I think, or high school. So, that's a little crunchy, you know, and she got a water filter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the big easy steps that you can take like that. But she still uses.
I mean, Serene, you know, she's like anti-microwave. I still have a microwave.
I can't believe what Pearl does. She heats her coffee up in the microwave. I still don't even understand. I love you though.
Yeah, but I will have to say this though. I'm part crunchy, right? Because I'm about my health and fantastic aging. But I found myself in something you said last night. You said, this is how I'm crunchy. You said, this is part of your story when you were sharing your story. I frantically Googled easy ways to save money on groceries without being a crazy coupon lady and found an article that suggested you only buy food that has 5 ingredients or less. Side note, frantic Googling is a surefire sign of crunchiness. Well, I frantic Google pretty much 20 to 30 times a day. As soon as I have a question in my head and I write out the full sentence like you and put it into Google, and then it comes up and it's like dopamine reward. Oh, thank you for these answers, Google. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to dive deep and I'm going to search. So yes, that part of me is so crunchy.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I found myself in this book where,
you were on every page.
No, but no, this part where she says... am I known to bring sauerkraut into the movie theater for us?
Maybe.
That's what I do. It stinks though.
Oh my goodness. I'm telling stories about Serene today because she's like,
you are really very crunchy. Why don't you just, you can have my platform.
Yeah, but I don't. No. I'm not as funny as you and you found the balance. I'm still struggling to find them. Every day in my head, I have to go back to the balance because
she was born crunchy.
I just remember being a young child and looking up to like this hillside and they were like cutting out down the trees to put in a subdivision. It wasn't when I was too little, but it was Turtle Creek Apartments. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I just remember this awful feeling coming over across me like, oh, like the, I don't know, just that the world was going to go on and keep like pushing down nature. And it's just always been just this little instinct. I remember at 6, I stopped having candy and sugar and it was a decision in my life. But even now, it's just, I recycle, but everyone tells me it's just going to go to the dump anyway. So every day I have this thing in life, like if I have a plastic bag of berries from the store, they come in the plastic. I have to, I wash it out. I make my children wash it out. So I make them participate. They put it in the trash. I'm like, no, you wash it. You hang dry it. And then I will recycle it. What I mean by that is I will put it in my mudroom. I have 20 big garbage bags filled with recycled plastic, but I'm too busy to take it to the recycling. So I still need help. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm still in that place of fear. I have to recycle. It's compulsive. I am a compulsive recycler. Even if I go to motels, I will get a little plastic bag in the corner with all my little plastic I've used over the weekend, but then I don't have anywhere to take it.
Do you recycle?
So I leave it there.
So Paducah, I mean, again, yeah. Paducah.
Right.
Yeah. The recycling options where I am are slim to none.
So how do you work it in your head? Will you put me on your counseling couch and help me? I need help with this recycling. Uh-huh. I don't want to be a compulsive recycler.
Do you take linen bags to the grocery store?
I do.
You do.
That's the easiest switch ever. Just take
bags,
put them
bags,
put them in your trunk.
10, 15 children. That's a lot of linen bags.
Well, I just put plastic in my mudroom.
Half the time I forget my bags because my whole thing is, okay, whenever I get done unloading my groceries, I take the bags to my trunk. Then they're there and I never have to worry about remembering them. But then sometimes I do forget to take them to my trunk and then I go to the store and I forget. Just don't get a bag. You just put it back in the cart and then you can put it in your trunk without a bag. And then
you get bags.
But like,
it's a lot of work. The crunchy people don't mind work. I mind work.
But what do you do about all the plastic that comes into your home? Okay.
Sure. Well, you can minimize a lot of that by not buying things in plastic.
Yeah, but what about like a bag of organic berries?
Cacao powder that you're not going to grow on your own.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's hard.
Like all of my superfoods from Amazon. It's all plastic. Like literally, that's the thing that bothers my brain so much. So I'm recovering. So I need your book.
So
I'm
going to
go
try,
and take
though,
it and have a good read.
Do you
read
try to ever like pick berries locally?
It's not enough for my family.
Yeah.
See, it's not enough.
But even if she has a farm. She milks goats. She grows grapes. She does it all. But she has a large family that eats.
Mm-hmm. So we have still lots of plastic coming in and my brain doesn't know how to deal with the plastic.
But do you have people write on your comments underneath like things like, and this is what I'm told when I say I've got to recycle. It all ends up in the same place anyway. Mm. It's not true. It's a big myth.
Yeah. Well, some of it does get recycled. Yeah. I mean, I believe that it is. There are companies out there doing their best. But
does Paducah and Hickman County, our county, do they do it? I don't know. But I told Pearl, we got to do our part. Right?
My husband was a garbage man for a while.
Okay.
And so they had a recycling service. Mm-hmm.
You know the truth.
I know the truth.
It goes straight to the trash.
But yet you still try to avoid plastics.
You feel good about putting it in a different trash can.
You feel good.
To be taken to the same place.
It doesn't ever get taken.
And you pay $15 extra to feel good.
It's all about our own morals and ethics, right? How we can get through in this world.
Whenever he took the job and then they were doing that, he felt so awful that... You know, they were being really sketch about it, but he couldn't
anything. You know? But you see, we both live in rural areas and stuff. And so we've heard the same with our county. But I'm sure those listening in California right now, probably there's some real recycling going on.
Yeah. I used to live in South Korea.
Other places. Yeah.
And they were like so intense about recycling and separating however you threw away your garbage.
Yes.
Like I remember getting yelled at by an old Korean dude at the trash cans outside the apartment. Everything was in Korean and I was trying to figure out where to put the different pieces and he just like yelled at me to go away and leave my trash and he would do it and I was
goodness.
My daughter who lived in Japan for a year said the same thing as she came back a recycler. You have to.
Well, I went to Europe. We went to Scotland and I was so relaxed. None of my OCD came upon me because there's only glass bottles for water.
Oh,
they won't do plastic. Mm-hmm. All of their, once use cutlery, it was all like a cardboard, a wooden kind of thing, very biodegradable. Nothing was plastic.
So the lifestyle was set up differently.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
That is really nice. But, you know, there are so many opportunities to bring your own things so that you're not ending up using single-use plastic.
Yes.
You know, like bring your own silverware if you're going to be, if you know you're going to be somewhere that they have plastic cutlery. Bring your own water. There's so many opportunities to cut down on our plastic. But with a big family, that would be hard.
But you think about it. We went, we did our vein surgeries, see, to get our probably put a few chemicals into our legs because we were vain.
We had varicose veins
about
our pregnancies.
Yes. And anyway, But we just saw every time they'd put a glove on, the glove would come off and in the trash. They would garb up about 10 of the people in the room to help with the surgery. And every time they'd garb up for everybody, that whole outfit, all of the plastic and all the plastic they laid out the table with all the utensils, it all went in the trash every time. Pearl and I were on the drive home thinking, how many times a day do they put all that plastic in?
We were thinking, you know, when we're careful with our plastics and recycle, we're really not doing anything compared to what's going on that we don't see.
I know.
But this whole balance about being, you know, taking out the toxins but not getting toxic in the head, it's good for me to hear because, you know, really if we can't control it, then we need to give it up. Mm-hmm. And I think you've said things like that in this book about how, you know, if you just have to be able to know when to rest in your head with it and just do the things you can do. Make those small changes, but don't sweat the stuff it's going to kill you faster, all the worry about
it. What do you want people to get out of this book most?
Try your best and that's enough. And the only person you have to convince that you're doing your best is yourself.
That's good.
So yeah, definitely try. Do try and here's how, but don't worry about it.
Were there you had an Amy in your life and actually she first got you started on this journey, but then were there other people kind of online that you followed that put the same sort of fears into you? Or?
Well, I think just the anxious personality, somebody who...
It was yourself.
Yeah, leans towards anxiety can find it anywhere, even if somebody's sharing like wholesome and kind information. My brain can totally warp it to be anxiety inducing. So, really anybody sharing anything about health.
is that a daily thing then where
Not
you
really
have to
anymore.
Find your peace? No, you've practiced your peace?
Yeah,
then?
Definitely just gave it up. I told you earlier, I'm a believer and my faith has been a huge part of giving up my anxiety. Yes. I can't hold on to that. I was like making that an idol, really. Yeah. So whenever I do feel that, I just surrender it to God and say, like, take this from me. I can't, this is not how I'm meant to live. And I know that. Yeah. And I know that you are the giver of peace. Yeah. So.
No, I love that. And that's been my biggest therapy. And the only true healing for me and my whole crunchy OCD-ness is just, God, you hold the world in your hands. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do what we can do. You know, we need to try. Mm-hmm. But it's your world. And it's, you know, when it's only up to you when it all ends. You know, you're the one in control. Mm-hmm. And so I just have to rest in that. And that's the only thing that really brings that deep anchor of peace. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said
that. Well, what I would like to know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers that have seen your stuff and that are about to see your stuff, you know, what's it like behind the scenes? So they see these skits, but what has life been like for you since you've become accidentally famous and what's real life like? I mean, you're obviously crunchy, but you're raising children and you're doing these skits and how do you manage it all?
Yeah, a lot of times it is really tricky. I used to be so good at meal planning and we would eat like all these different exotic type meals. I love cooking different curries and just trying out all new recipes. And now I feel like I have several really healthy meals that I can lean on, but we like eat the same thing all the time because I'm just too busy to think about it, you know? And then my kids, I probably lean a little more on schooling. Like you were saying, sorry. But I definitely, I make homeschool a priority. Yeah. It's just probably not spending as much time as I would if I didn't have this platform. Yeah. Obviously, we still read a lot, and I do have a curriculum that I follow. Yeah. I don't want anyone calling anyone on me. I promise my kids are getting
too
schooled.
Busy calling on me. So, yeah, the phone lines are booked. You're totally clear.
So, yeah, it's been different. And then just, going out with my family. My six-year-old gets a little... a little annoyed when people recognize me sometimes. Yeah. He's like, why do they know you, Mom? Which he has seen my videos. He loves watching our videos. And He's always like in the background when we're filming. They love to say like action, you know, before we start.
Do you ever worry? Because this has been my thing. Serene never worries because she'll always be so super crunchy that you might not be doing the crunchiest thing when someone recognizes you.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm like, is this on brand?
Yeah.
Especially like I mentioned in my book. Sometimes we go to Culver's. Like, yeah. It never fails anytime
someone
I'm there.
Will be there.
Someone wants their picture with
yes.
me. So it's like there's no hiding where I am. They're totally going to post, like, milkshake. Really very crunchy fail.
Pearl was once somewhere, and she was putting in this big, like, white dinner roll in her mouth.
We were it was our anniversary and we were down in New Orleans and we went to this French restaurant. I'm like, I'm going to eat the white baguette, mm-hmm. you know, and it was literally almost to my lips. And some face comes right to our table and said, Pearl
from Trim Healthy?
Yeah. And I'm like, ah, yes, yes, that's me. I wish it wasn't, but that's me.
But people have to understand that you're a person too. And hopefully they recognize the importance of balance.
Right.
And know that they're just catching you in a weird moment. I mean, I do a lot on my platform about parenting and gentle parenting.
Yes.
And the other, like 2 weekends ago, we were in Franklin and my 3-year-old was having a meltdown. I mean, like serious screaming, flailing, you know, just like the lowest of the low moment for a parent. And I'm carrying him to the car and I am being like super chill and calm. But you know that vulnerability as a mom when your kid is acting like that. They've just totally lost it. Well, he's kicking and this lady runs up through the parking lot, really very crunchy, you know, and I'm like on the verge of tears and my kid is flailing and having a meltdown and I'm like, yes, now is not really a great time, you know, but then I felt like such a jerk for just walking away. She's like, I bought your book. I love you. Like, she wasn't even recognizing the moment of struggle. But and I'm here thinking like, gentle parenting my butt. Like, this looks terrible, you know.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
Have you ever then, because this was not something that you asked for, and we understand that because we're kind of accidentally here too. Have you ever had times, which Serene has, I have now and then, but have you ever had times where you resent what your platform now, or you're like, what on earth? Why do I have to do this? And now I'm stuck doing
it. Before she answers that question, I just want people to know, like, she's doing three of these,
productions.
They're productions.
I mean, they're,
even if they're
huge.
Short, though, we know what goes
into
it.
We call them, what we try to do is, you know, when you watch a sitcom, that little cold open at the beginning. That's what we feel like our skits are, like that little cold open before the show comes on. So
it's they're huge. I mean, you got to write them, you got to think of them, you got to act them, you got to maybe retake a few times. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Then there's the editing process. We know just a little bit about that, and I just, three of them a week, and then all keeping up with your own personal crunchy, and I just want to take my hat off to you. It's just amazing.
But I want to know if she's resented it ever, and just be honest.
I am really grateful for the opportunity. I really am. But definitely said to my husband, like, I never asked for this, but I was given it. Mm. And so I want to steward it well. Yeah. And I am really, really grateful that I have it. I mean, I think about people who work their whole lives to try and get a published book.
Yeah.
And it was just like tossed in my lap, you know, after 1 year of posting videos online. So how can I not be grateful for that, you know? But I mean, I definitely feel it, just like anybody who's passionate about something probably feels about when they're like in it deep, you know, just like
the grunt part of it.
And it's, you know, it makes it easier too when people are grateful for what you do, and people have come up to us, Pearl and I encourage us, and it's made it easier for us because there is so much work to put into it. But I just want to say to you, you know, not only are you giving a brilliant, just a wonderful kind of a journey guidebook to crunchiness, just to keep people out of the weeds, you know, just telling them maybe how they can start their journey. And then it's just beautiful. But you're also bringing humor to life, which is one of the most healing things in life. Like, people just need to laugh more. Mm-hmm. Even if you had no message, and you have a great message, but the fact that you're bringing comedy into life is just beautiful. It's just wonderful. Like, when anyone sits down, I hope we're going to play one of her little
skits.
Yeah,
I think they'll be. Yeah,
if anyone sits down and just sees it, it's going to be healing just because it's going to make you laugh.
Exactly.
Laughter is the best medicine, right?
And it really, and it pulls down toxicity too. Because I think with the whole, and that's why you address it all the way through your book, with the whole granola crunchy thing, I mean, it is a world of toxicity. With thoughts, with judgments, with am I good enough, with I'm better, they shouldn't do that, but I should do this. I mean, we can get so caught up with it. So,
and the mind is so powerful. You know, there's people that are all into the health and ticked every box of crunchiness, but with the worry and with all of the fear, have brought their health into, like, they've brought it all the way. I mean, they've probably tanked their adrenals, and I mean, it's just amazing how people, even if they go and they get some diagnosis of a disease, and say it was even a wrong diagnosis, just their mind alone can have them die. Like, if they say you've got 2 months to live, their mind alone can have them, like, mm-hmm. in the grave in 2 months. That's the power of the mind. Mm-hmm. And so even if you're doing everything right in the physical and ticking all those boxes, if your mind is not healthy, if it's filled with the toxins of fear and anxiety, you can end up in the grave sooner than somebody who just, you know, mm-hmm. does whatever they want.
I know. My dad is one of the, like, least health-minded people I know, but he never gets sick, mm-hmm. ever. Yeah. He's just, like, blissfully unaware yeah. of what's going on. You know, he's just not worried about it, and it seems like it's working out for him. Maybe as he gets older, it'll catch up to him. But
no, we have a friend like this, a native from New Zealand, and he's, you know, he's well into his late 70s now, probably.
And we said, what's your secret?
Well, he's just so healthy and happy, and yeah, and
we're filled with the joy of the Lord. That's
yeah,
for sure.
He's just happy, you know. And we asked him what his secret is.
He said, oh, about 7 sugars in my morning coffee.
And of course,
and cornflakes. No, he said Weet-Bix, because he's from New Zealand. Weet-Bix.
Of course, we don't promote that, but like you say, it's a huge part to it. And when mm-hmm. we get consumed with all that what if and oh my goodness, like, I messed up and I had a toxin, I mean, we're just harming ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think, of course, the best balance is when you're doing your best and, you know, taking on God's peace. But I wanted to read this. I think this was well said. You said, every single topic you research, especially relating to health, can lead you down some weird rabbit holes. If you're not careful, you'll eventually find yourself in a place that has absolutely nothing to do with what you were originally trying to research. There's a guy in the corner of the internet who says the carnivore diet is the best. Eat like a caveman and see the results. There's a girl in the corner of the internet who's a vegetarian and says life couldn't be better. Oh, and don't forget about that whole thread dedicated to how the government is trying to control your mind through tap water.
That was such a great line.
But it's so true, right? I mean, for most people, it's like, even me. And you know, I've been doing this and I feel like I'm pretty solid for decades. When I see something on the internet that's bad, my mind is suddenly, is it bad? I better find out.
Mm-hmm. I know, but like you said, Pearl, there's the people out there that read all that conflicting information and then they just throw in the towel and say, well, it's just all too confusing. I'm just doing it.
Well, I think for me, what always brings me back, and I mean, you mentioned you're a believer, is I don't know how other people do it, because all I have to do is like, okay, hold on, but I have this special trick. What did God say? Because he designed our bodies. And I go back and I see, well, he created all the food groups. He said an apple is good. He said an egg is good. He ate beef. I mean, he made fish. You know, all these things. And it's just so...
Yeah, he said an egg is good because that one scripture that said, you know, would a good father give a snake when the son asked for an egg?
Yeah.
You know, something like that. But there was like the egg was seen as a good gift and the snake as a poison. But, you know, I don't exactly have it.
I mean, they're going to tell you everything. Yeah. Everything's bad, right?
Yeah.
And then I get such peace. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. Actually, it's not. It couldn't be bad if he made it for us.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that has definitely helped me with my anxiety is just, what is true in this moment? If I didn't know anything else, how does it make me feel what I'm doing? If eating eggs or whatever we're talking about, like, that's never affected me in a negative way. So what is true right now? And that is what I can do, you know?
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, we just want to thank you for your time. But where do you see things go? Are we going to watch this now, Mikey? To end this, we'll watch one of...
She says it's old, but I just cracked up laughing.
This is one of my favorites of yours because...
Well, what is your favorite?
I maybe see Serene in every second of this, so I wanted to play it and I wanted you to watch it.
Our car broke down and we have to stay at a hotel. Do you think they have any rooms that are toxin-free?
Get off the bed. Wait, we have to check it. Please get down. We just have to check it first. Make sure everything looks good. The mattresses are completely toxic. These sheets are polyester. The sheets are polyester.
Let me just see. Oh no. Oh no. No, no. A facial bar.
Hi, excuse me. Can you please turn down the chlorine in the pool? I'm on the fourth floor and I can smell it all the way up here. Also, what do you use to wash your sheets in? Do you guys have soap berries? No?
Yes, that is a very interesting piece of art. That black screen there. I mean, that black piece of art. Is there a microwave? There's a microwave. How easy is it to unplug? Oh! It's off. Okay.
That was so good.
I love it.
Do you love or hate watching yourself, though?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen that one. Wow. Yeah. Oh, pretty crazy whenever you step back and see, like, yeah, that's a really crazy way to live.
Oh, my goodness. It was so good. It's like balm to my soul after living with my sister. I've shared many hotel rooms with her, you see?
See, I'm not used to sleeping in a hotel. I don't know. I guess when I've traveled, maybe I've done more Airbnbs. I've traveled a lot, but recently we went on a trip and we don't have a TV in our room or anything. And that little red light on the TV, you can't unplug the TV.
Yeah.
Like my mind convinced myself that it was a bomb or something. I was like, what is that red? What could possibly be a red light? Like,
that is hilarious.
I was losing it in the night and like couldn't rationalize that it was just a television.
I know. I can't sleep with one though. So I go and put I load up some of my clothes and build them up so they go over the red dot, the light.
Definitely.
Oh, but man, thank you so much for coming. And thank you for coming into studio. This was fun not doing it by Zoom. And well, we're looking for great things, for more from your channel and just... get her book, everybody. Really Very Crunchy by Emily Moreau.
Thank you for having me. And whenever my husband was like, hey, they're going to provide lunch, I was like, wow, the first time ever. I'm not even going to have to worry about what it is.
Yay. Oh, great. Thank you. No, it's been very helpful for me.